Welcome. You're listening to Soli, a podcast driven by curiosity and spirituality with intuitive mediums Shayla and Peyton. Join us as we ask questions, create conversation, and share in an open and heart-centered way our personal experiences and mystical ponderings. If you're spiritually curious and want to be a part of the conversation, then this is the perfect space for you. This is Soli. All right. Welcome back, Soli listeners. We are very excited today to have a friend of ours joining us for a very fun interview. I would like to introduce to all of you Mary Beth Thompson. How are you, Mary Beth?
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so happy to join you guys today.
Oh, yay. We're so excited to have you. So, Mary Beth, I know that you are part of the Spirit School community. I know I have connected or I've seen you in that space, but really where I first got to know you the best was through, we did the Intro to Astrology course that Emily and her stars that we referenced many times on this show, we took that class together. So it was really fun to kind of finally connect with you in that space. And then we've begun kind of touching base with each other ever since then. So the last time we spoke, I was like, you know what? It would be kind of fun to have you on the show because you've got your hands in a lot of different places. You do a lot of really cool and interesting work. And I think it would just be fun to share that with our listeners and get into that conversation with you about some of this beautiful spiritual work that you do. So if you could, would you mind introducing yourself to our guests and letting people know a little bit about yourself and what it is you do and how you like to work?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm really honored to be talking with you all today and to talk to your listeners of your podcast. I'm a fan of your podcast as well. So it's exciting to be here with your audience today, too. So like you said, my name is Mary Beth Thompson. I'm the owner of a business called Soul Shines Coaching, and I'm an intuitive life coach, and I'm also a psychic medium. I spent the last 20 years in my career doing marketing, communications, branding, public relations, primarily for healthcare agencies and hospitals and a lot of nonprofit work. And all the while, I was a closeted medium. And, you know, you mentioned that we met each other in Spirit School, which is an online community. I didn't know until about a year and a half ago that you could learn how to be a medium. I thought it was just something that you discovered one day that you had, and that was it. And so I was really fascinated that this was an idea that you could learn how to do it. So the reason I joined Spirit School is because I felt like I was on an island by myself, because my immediate circle of friends and family were not talking to people in spirit like I was. And so I was looking to have a community of people that I could feel less alone and feel like we could talk shop and things like that. So it's just been a beautiful experience and to meet people like you. So it's kind of full circle for me right now. But so I'm an intuitive life coach. I specialize in color energy. And I studied under someone named Dougal Frazier, who's a renowned psychic. And he can literally see people's auras with his eyes. And I just really have always resonated with his energy and his personality. He's just a lot of fun. So I've been working under him for over a decade. And in 2020, I felt this nudge on my shoulder that it was time to explore kind of segueing out of the marketing industry and looking at more of my coaching. I guess you could say personality. I think I'm also an empath. And so I'm just naturally a space holder for people. I'm also a Cancer sun sign and Enneagram 2. I just very, you know, cookie cutter as far as I think I just naturally fall into a kind of coaching position or a role. And so in 2020, during the pandemic, I felt this nudge that I was supposed to evaluate my career. And that's when I started to explore coaching. I originally was looking at more of a Tony Robbins type of certification, and then the universe kept blocking me from going. And I knew by the second block, I was like, nope, this isn't my journey. So from that point, I explored other certifications under more of a spiritual life coach. And part of my story that just feels like you can't make this stuff up sort of thing was a week before my business website was going live, I was only going to be doing life coaching. And I had another nudge from the universe, or maybe my higher self or my guides, that I was supposed to start doing mediumship readings. And I, at that point, had been completely private in sharing that ability with only my immediate friends and family. And so I did one practice reading, and it was one of the best readings I've ever done. And I felt like that was my confirmation that I'm supposed to share this with, you know, other people publicly. And so I added it at the last minute as a service offering, and that has been the bulk of my business now. So life coaching is more of the niche part of my business, and I spend most of my time doing intuitive guidance and mediumship sessions. So I've been doing it now since 2021. At the risk of sounding incredibly corny, I feel like I'm living my purpose now, and I'm doing exactly what I'm meant to be doing, and feel really honored to be able to be a conduit for spirit. And yeah, I could go on and on, but that's kind of in a nutshell. I live in Atlanta, Georgia with my family. I have two young daughters. I'm a professional space holder, both personally and in my household with my little kids and my husband, as well as for my clients and my friends. And so that's what I do.
That's beautiful. I feel like there's, yeah, that's amazing. I always find it so fascinating to see what people have done before they got into like more of the spiritual stuff, like mediumship and things like that, because it often kind of tells the story of like how they got to where they are now and stuff like that. But so I have quite a few questions in my head, but I think I'm going to focus on the color part. So I actually have taken courses with Dougal Frazier as well, and I love him. He's amazing. And even his teaching style is fantastic. Like, he really meets the needs of everybody. Like, if you're audio or if you're visual, if you're more of like, you need to read it kind of thing, like, he's great with that. And so I know he's amazing. So one of the things that I liked about him is how he really allows you to make color your own. He's not like, this is exactly how you have to do it. He kind of is like, okay, feel into it. This is what I have to offer. This is what I see, but what do you see? And so I'm curious to know like your color journey in that way. And like in your sessions, how do you use color and how does it come to you? And is there a bridge even with your mediumship into your coaching? Do you find that there's often like a bridge with them? Because I'm curious how that would work. Because I've often thought of like doing coaching myself, and like, I feel like the mediumship would start to like come in. So I'm curious how like, how that works for you.
Yeah, those are great questions. So I'll start with this, with the second question. So I do what I call intuitive guidance sessions, where I'm basically connecting with your higher self. I'm sure your guides and your angels are all, you know, in the background orchestrating communication, but I'm talking to someone's higher self. And so I'm getting information about whether it's their relationships, their health, their finances, whatever the case may be. And so I'm kind of channeling that information. So what I find oftentimes is someone who will have that session with me will get a lot out of it, and they want to keep working together. And they want to kind of uncover and explore and dig deep into some of their challenges, their limiting beliefs. You know, they kind of want to take it to the next step. So they'll go on and end up joining under my life coaching program, which is a 10-week program. So that seems to be a very natural fit for many of my clients. And then, of course, the individual mediumship sessions as well. So yeah, I don't know. I have very strict boundaries with spirit. I think I've told Peyton this before in a personal conversation. I call it my antenna. I don't have my antenna up when I'm in the grocery store. You know, not to say they don't get through sometimes, but mostly I have pretty strict boundaries. And so I don't know. I guess I just am able to toggle between when I'm doing a true blown, you know, they hired me to do a mediumship session versus they've hired me to do life coaching. You know what I mean? So I definitely use my intuition to do the coaching based on whatever we're working on. But I don't know how else to explain it other than it's just a role that I'm able to kind of toggle between based on what they've hired me to do. And then as far as the color, so how it works for me is I have a 10-week program, like I mentioned, and I take them through 9 colors of our aura. And I have them divided up into 3 different, I guess you could say, buckets or interests. So one is relationships. So that's the relationship with yourself, the relationship with your loved ones or your partners, and the relationship with your peers and your community. The second module is business, abundance, and prosperity. So I take them through 3 colors that would fall under that category to help them explore maybe if there's any shadow sides there or maybe where they're thriving. And then the last area would be soul and spirit. And so those 3 colors of your aura have to do with connecting with your own higher self and intuition. So the way I like to explain it is it's almost like having your own toolkit. So as you complete my program, you now have these 9 color energies from your aura that you can kind of put on your tool belt, so to speak. Now you can utilize this color energy and work with it, because what you're doing is you're basically calling in the characteristics and the attributes that that color brings to the table. So I'll give you an example. Purple is known to be the color of leadership and destiny and purpose. So that's a color I love to wear if I was to go on a job interview or be, you know, wanting to really put my shoulders back and stand up straight and have this confidence exuding out of me. I always also share Oprah. It would be a classic example of someone who just would naturally exude purple in her aura because of the grace that she has and that kind of, you know, stoic kind of presence that she brings to the table. So that's kind of what I teach my clients is, where are you working in the shadow side where you could really pull it out, as well as which colors are you really striving in, and you kind of almost magnify it.
So yeah, that's, I love that. And the thing with color too, like as you even drink from like this beautiful green cup, is like, you can just, it's so easy to tap into because we're just surrounded by color, and you know, color has vibration in it too as well, which is so cool. So I love that you implement that into all that you do, and that you give people that tool to like use it in their daily lives, because that's like something that is so easy to do, right? In your everyday life. You don't even notice sometimes how like these things can really connect to you.
So you've had a background in color, and you've kind of had a background in this world, and you've been called to this place at the same time that you're developing yourself and learning to build that relationship with spirit and how that works for you personally. So can you talk about your journey through some of those doorways of, one thing is that you and I have spoke about is differentiating between what's intuition and what is fear, so that you can learn to trust yourself and learn to trust your intuition so that you can purely give guidance to others. I would love to hear kind of your journey through that, what you've learned, what's maybe helped you, especially, I know that's for anyone developing any kind of work in the spiritual space. And this probably could also apply to everyone else as well, as they're just learning to trust themselves as they make decisions about their life, how you've navigated that, how you've built that discernment between the two.
Yeah, sure. So it's interesting using the word developing, because like I mentioned, I realized I had this ability to talk to spirit it was actually my early 20s, and I'm now well into my 40s. So it's been over 20 years. So I feel like I was developing for 20 years, and it was just in private though. You know, I wasn't doing formal professional for hire readings. I was doing it pro bono essentially. And I feel like that was my development, was doing these readings, but I had never been trained to do it. And so now that I'm doing it professionally, it's just much more organized, you know, is basically the best way I could explain it. As far as intuition versus fear, I like to always teach people that our intuition is something that comes through typically quickly out of nowhere. It typically has a neutral feeling around it. And it's usually while you're doing something that feels like it's a meditative-like experience, like you're in the shower, you're washing dishes, you're in the car, you're folding laundry, maybe you're doing yoga, whatever. And so that seems to be the common denominator when it comes to our intuition speaking to us, whether that's through a knowing or if you're a clairaudient or whatever that might be. And then fear, I find, comes through when you're already ruminating about something, that something is kind of pinging around in your mind and you're maybe giving yourself a hard time. Maybe your heart's racing, your palms are sweating. Maybe it's keeping you up at night. You might feel what feels like what I would call anxiety in your chest. And so that, you know, people call that your monkey mind. So those are some of the examples of what would be a fear-based thought that you know that's not coming from your higher self or your spirit team. Because when it comes through from your spirit team, it's usually non-emotional, and it's, I would call it neutral. And so that's a really surefire way to know that this is not coming from your human thinking mind or your ego. And so it's served me incredibly well, because I've been proven right time and time and time again when I do trust my intuition. And I've been proven right when I don't trust it, you know, and then I'm like, well, yeah, I knew that. I knew that I was not, you know, following my intuition. And I have so many funny stories about that. So it's such a deep passion of mine to teach other people how to trust themselves I actually just finished up a course, a 6-week course where I was teaching people this idea of how to trust yourself. And I think that kind of goes hand in hand a little bit with trusting your intuition, that kind of, you know, is a foundation of that. So it's pretty close to my heart.
I have a friend, and I think this is something that, as you say, we all have to work on and create this discernment for ourselves. But I just had a conversation with a friend of mine that she does not work in a spiritual space. She's very open to it, but she's been more exposed to it since I've been bringing it to the table in every conversation for the past handful of years. So she is very intuitive. She's had a lot of experiences that have placed filters in her mind of be prepared for possibly worst case scenario. So I know when it comes to her feeling into her intuition and navigating that, that's a bit of a journey. It's a bit of a windy road. On top of, for people whose exposure to this world is mainly through media, maybe a movie or television series or whatever, the seers or the ones who are able to tap into this, They're always giving doom. They're always like, that's what makes the movie good, is when the seer sees the tragedy coming. And it's not that we don't sometimes get feelings of more negative things. You need to, you know, I know most of us that tap into this, we really focus on let's try to bring best case scenario. What's the highest thing that we can learn or that we need to be aware of before we navigate through something maybe challenging? So it's not that we don't have these hard moments, but so for people that is their exposure and then maybe have had experiences that have been harder and they are trying to develop their intuition and it's a little more difficult for them to break that discernment. Do you have any, and I'm asking myself, do you have any suggestions or do you have any tips as to, I know it's listen to yourself and if it feels more neutral, or is this something that you've also found, or what are your thoughts on that?
That's a really interesting question. So when it comes to trusting ourselves and trusting our intuition, is that basically what you're asking?
More or less, yeah.
So,
and I know you kind of just answered it, but it like sparked this, yeah. this, I know we have a lot of listeners that aren't just in the spiritual space. So I would assume this probably will resonate for some people of yeah. how do I work past that fear that just comes up?
Yeah.
Of that I'm going to see the worst thing. Or even when we read for people, they're scared most of the time that we're going to see something that they don't want us to see, or we're going to tap into, you know, there's always a lot of fear that gets thrown into it.
So two things I want to say. One is that I can only speak from my experience as a reader, that when I'm reading, I'm always asking for the best and highest good. And I also use my own discernment and judgment of what information I do deliver based on what I intuitively feel like is appropriate. So I kind of just trust that the information I'm getting is for their best and highest good. And then I on occasion I might filter something because it just doesn't seem like it's appropriate for them to know that, you know?
Of course.
Now, and I'll give you an example. So let's say I get a sensation that their spouse or their parents is going to be having some health challenges coming up. I'm not going to deliver that by saying, you better brace yourself. You know, things are about to get real crazy. I might say something like, hey, have you talked to your dad lately? Have you checked on him? You know, do you know how he's doing? And they'll say, oh, yeah, he's been on my mind a lot for some reason, but I really, you know, I've been wanting to go see him. And so I'll kind of let them, and I'm talking about an intuitive guidance session, by the way. And then I might kind of just kind of go down that a little bit further and just say, yeah, I'm getting this impression that, you know, it could be really important for you to check on him and just make sure he's feeling okay. And just, you know, make sure he's gone to all of his, is he following up with his appointments for his doctor visits and getting all his scans done? That just feels like it would be really, really special for you to just kind of be his champion. So that's the way I'll deliver it, instead of saying, I feel like that's going to have a heart attack in 3 months. You know what I mean? Now, again, I might deliver it with different wording, just depending on who I'm reading, and to see kind of the comfort level of how straightforward I can be with them. And then I would say also, as far as someone who's listening to this, who wants to trust themselves and navigate getting over the fear of, you know, being wrong. It's funny, when I did my 6-week course that I recently taught, I pulled my students who I had the class in, and I also looked at some other studies that have been done anecdotally about, you know, what's the number one reason why you wouldn't trust your intuition. And some of the top answers were that they were afraid that it wouldn't be what they wanted it to be. Well, if you think about that, how kind of silly that is. It's like, you know, you don't want to face the truth of what you of what's actually true simply because it doesn't match what you want it to be. And so it's like, well, then I'm just going to turn my head and look the other way. So I thought that was really interesting. And then also the fear of getting it wrong and maybe the, you know, if there's shame or embarrassment or feeling kind of bad about that. So those were the top two reasons of why people typically don't trust their intuition. And so here's the thing. This is one of those broken record moments for me, because if you were to look up my name in the dictionary, it would say Mary Beth, intention. Intention is everything. That I say that all the time. And I believe that to be so true. So if you set your intention that you trust yourself, that the information you're getting is correct, that the information is for your best and highest good, whether it's for you or whether you're doing a reading for someone else, it's just your intention is so incredibly powerful. So I would say if I could give one piece of advice for going down this journey of trusting yourself and your intuition, it would be to make the declaration and the intention that this is the truth and that I do trust myself. And I don't believe anything's going to come through that's not for my best and highest good. And now that we've kind of discussed the fear versus the intuitive environments of what that feels like, now you have a little bit of a baseline to kind of do your checks and balances to go, oh, wait a second. No. I remember this was on the other column, which is under the fear column, because I'm ruminating. I was already thinking about it. I'm just beating my head up against the proverbial wall when I'm in my bed. That's not intuition. That's my silly monkey mind. You know, and so you just start to kind of collect data on yourself once you know which column it fits into. And once you can get really crystal clear on like, okay, this is my intuition, boom, now you can trust it easier because you know that it is your intuition.
Totally. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. That was great.
Yeah.
I love that. I think a big word that keeps popping up is like the rumination part, because I think for me, that's been such a lesson on, what is my intuition versus what is like my anxiety speaking to me. And it's oftentimes that like running of the mind and that kind of chaotic feeling inside. I like what you said about like checks and balances, because I think that's something that like a lot of people really struggle with. It's like we get so into our head, we're like, is this real? Is it not? Like, is there something to be scared of or whatever? Right. So just allowing ourselves to like make those points of recognition of like what's happening in our mind versus, you know, following our intuition and all of that. But another thing that I was thinking about, like what I said before too, is, you know, how our lives and our experiences really shape how we perceive things and our work moving forward with spirituality or whatever we decide to do. And there was something that you did mention when you were filling out our form. You said that you lost your brother. I'm just so sorry about that. Like, I really feel for you. Last summer, I believe it was, right? July. And so I know for me, losing people, I just lost like a grandparent recently that I was very close to, who had a really significant role in my upbringing and support system. And, you know, when you lose somebody really close to you, there's just no way it can't influence the way you move forward in life. Like, there's just so much within that. And so I would just love if you could take a moment to kind of talk about your experience within that loss and how it's impacted your spirituality, your mediumship. What are the connecting points with that? Because I always find, especially if you're close to somebody, it just kind of amplifies things and you kind of realize things from a different perspective than if you're just, you know, suddenly as a reader, you are the sitter in a way, right? Like, you kind of end up experiencing the flip side of things. So yeah, I'd love to hear your experience on all of that.
Well, and I'm sorry, so sorry for your loss too.
Thanks.
Yeah, it definitely changes your perspective for sure as someone who does readings. My brother did know that I was a medium, so he was aware that I was doing this. He was very supportive. He was my oldest brother. I come from a family with six children, and his name is Bobby, and he had metastatic melanoma cancer, and he fought it for 4 years, and he was an absolute warrior, and he didn't want to talk about him passing. So it made it really challenging because I wanted to have these conversations to like, okay, so what's your sign going to be? And, you know, how are we going to communicate? And we didn't get to have any of those discussions, but as it turns out, I actually didn't need any of them because I joke that he must be teaching classes in heaven about how to communicate with humans. I'm not even kidding. He's like a master class teacher. He has to be because he's unbelievable. Now, I'm very lucky and grateful that I have, that I'm very well versed in how spirits communicate. So I, you know, I joke that I live in the matrix as well, because I all day long, virtually, I'm seeing signs, I'm hearing signs, I'm getting confirmations and validations. So I feel extremely lucky. I don't know how else to say it, that I am able to have this connection with him. So I don't know if I mentioned this earlier. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and, you know, which tends to shun people who are mediums, which I always joke. I always think it's funny, because it's like they teach you to pray to saints and to your angels. And but the second it's a two-way walkie-talkie, now all of a sudden I have the ability to doctrine them, then it's a problem, right? And I understand, you know, that some of it has to do with just people get scared of what they don't understand and what they don't know. And they're afraid we're going to tune into this dark energy. And so in any event, I have had just a great connection with him. And, you know, I told you I was a closeted medium for 20 years, where I was only sharing this ability with my closest friends and family. And it occurred to me after he passed that my whole journey was for his passing, so that I could be a conduit for my family. And so I have had the incredible honor of being able to deliver messages to his children and his wife and my sister-in-law. And it was like everything in the blink of an eye just made sense. It was like, this is why I'm a medium, was to be able to help heal, because he has young children. And so not only has that been incredibly healing for me to feel like I could be of service to my family, but also because I know that he's helping me now. And it's in ways that I can't even describe, to be able to be the connector. And I think also give people hope, because his signs and synchronicities and the way that he shares information is so remarkable. It's just undeniable. I think it's given other people hope to go, like, you know, like I said, you can't make this stuff up. So, and then of course, doing readings now, I've had experienced grief over my life, but this is by far above and beyond the closest to me. And so it's given me an incredibly different perspective of grief. And if I wasn't holding space for people before and having compassion and empathy, it's like times a thousand now. So I don't take that for granted. And I, you know, one thing that clients say to me when I get feedback or testimonials is that I felt safe, I felt seen, I felt comfortable. I was nervous before, but you made me feel so comfortable. So I feel like if I was already doing that beforehand, I'm now doing it even more, because I'm so acutely aware of it. This is about a loss, you know?
Yeah.
And what's interesting, first 3 months he was gone, I didn't cry too much, because I felt like he was still here. That's how close he is to me energetically. It feels like I can flip a switch and I can just talk, because I'm clairaudient as well, clairvoyant, clairaudient mostly. And so I can just flip a switch and just talk. I can literally talk to him and hear him talking to me. So because I had that closeness to him right away, I wasn't sensing the loss. And something happened about 3 months after he passed. And I was literally, you know how spirits got jokes?
Yeah.
I have a really funny sense of humor sometimes. One week I was telling somebody in my family that I was, or a friend maybe, that I was so grateful that I didn't have the extraordinary grief that my other loved ones were experiencing. And within about 2 days, I think I started crying, and I cried for 3 days. And I was like, what is going on? Why am I crying? I can't stop. And I didn't understand why I was crying. And then it hit me. Oh, Mary Beth, just because you have the ability to connect with him on this very unique level, that doesn't make you absent from the human experience that you lost your brother. You know, so it was a huge light bulb for me. And I was very humbled by that. I was like, okay, fair enough. So yeah, he was a Gemini. So he's, you know, again, known for communicating. And I feel like he's just driving that home from spirit. And yeah, I could truly probably write a book just about the experience I've had with my brother from this side of the veil. And thank you for asking about it.
Yeah, I think it's so beautiful to be able to just like talk about our loved ones too, and like tell their stories, because like all that you said too reminds me of how, just because they're gone, that doesn't mean our relationship with them is gone. It's just, it becomes different in a different way, and we experience it that way. So yeah, that's beautiful. And Do you have any like stories that you would like to share about him that just like pops out to you? Because I think that's one thing I love is hearing people's stories, and it really helps listeners be like, oh yeah, like it helps, can help you validate your own things too. Sometimes hearing people's stories, because sometimes you're like, oh my God, am I crazy? Like, did I make this up? Right. Because it just, why is sometimes even still as a medium, I'm like, it's wild that there can be these signs and symbols and that they can connect with us in such a tangible and powerful way. So if you have any, I don't want to put pressure on you.
There's probably 200 stories I could tell you, but one that comes to mind, and I'll share this only because it has to do with my niece, and he only had one daughter. And of course, you know, she has been absolutely crushed since his passing. And when someone's at the end of their life as a cancer patient, you know, they're going to go into hospice typically, and their, you know, abilities are going to start to decline as far as being able to talk and things like that. So he was at that phase the last couple of weeks of his life, and he was in hospice originally in their home. And so after he passed, and I essentially did a reading for my sister-in-law, and also had messages for my niece and nephews. And one of the things he said, I don't know about you guys as mediums or intuitives, but I get songs a lot. That's one thing that I get constantly.
Me too.
And a lot of times it will actually have a legitimate, real experience that is from this person in spirit or my sitter, or it could just be something in the lyrics that they want to convey to the sitter. So in any event, I heard this Coldplay song called Yellow playing as I'm talking to my brother, and I didn't know the context or the reference of it, but I heard the lyrics, look at the stars, look how they shine for you. And so when I told my niece that, he probably had 20 different messages for her, but that was one of them. And she said, you know, you're not going to believe this. She said, first of all, him and I would sit in the jacuzzi in summer when it was a clear sky, and we would look at the stars and we would talk about these philosophical topics and things like that, which I never knew that. We grew up in different states, and so I wasn't there a lot in person to have these experiences with him. And she said, but more importantly, when he was in hospice and he was in our living room in a hospital bed, one time I looked out the window because the shades had been shut, and she peered out of the window behind the shade, and she said, Dad, I wish you could see outside. The sky is yellow. It looks like that song by Coldplay. Wow. And and she said that she didn't know, based on his cognitive level, if he had heard her or was kind of conscious for that conversation she had with him. And so that was his way of saying, yeah, I was, you know, I was there and I did hear you. So, and that was like just a double whammy just in that one song lyric. You know? Like I said, I could give you so many examples, but that's how incredible he is.
That's beautiful. It's
absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you. That scent just, I was just tingling all over when you said that.
So that was
amazing.
Thank you.
So you lightly mentioned that if you ever wrote a book, but from what you shared with us, you might actually have one in the works.
Yeah, I do.
So I would love to hear what you're working on.
So I'm working on a manuscript, and it's about the power of telling your truth. And the way the book is written, it's laid out, it would be called like a teaching memoir is how it would be categorized. And so it's basically, the premise is the power of telling the truth, and every chapter is about a different part of our life. So the power of telling your truth in your relationships, the power of you telling the truth with your mental health, your physical health, your financial health, the power of telling the truth on social media and the landscape of how we show up for ourselves on social media. And so every chapter kind of focuses on all these different major areas of our life. And so I'm writing the book with a lot of very vulnerable stories about my life and how I've, you know, not told the truth in different areas for fear of shame or embarrassment or just not wanting to face it. And so the hope is that I'm going to kind of try to empower people to feel that kind of enough is enough, that I want to tell my truth and not have to hide behind filters on social media, or maybe not tell my friends how I'm really doing because, you know, I don't want to be a burden on them, or maybe I made a big mistake and I don't want to tell my spouse because I don't want him to judge me or look at me any differently. And so by me, and I've been this way my whole life, I've always been, my husband would probably say honest to a fault, where I'll just, you know, tell the truth and tell the truth and tell the truth. I used to write blogs back in like, I don't know, 2008, 2009. And I would just kind of chronicle my life and being very vulnerable. And I would almost always get DMs saying, Mary Beth, I feel the same way. Or, you know, thank you for saying that because I felt that way too. And so just kind of this idea of letting people feel seen and feel safe to just say, you know, what am I hiding from? I feel like a lot of us don't want to feel our feelings, the negative feelings that make us feel uncomfortable. So we'd rather just ignore it. But as we probably all know, that energy has to go somewhere. And if it's dark and dense and heavy, and if we don't heal it and release it, then it can show up as disease and things like that. So really, it's just a book to empower people to feel liberated, just say, you know what, enough is enough. So whether you're not telling the truth to yourself about something in your life or whether you're not telling the truth to other people, I want it to kind of be a gateway for people to kind of reevaluate where they might be more honest in general. And along the way, tell very self-deprecating stories, you know, about how I've done it myself. And I'm here to tell you I'm on the other side of it now. And it feels pretty damn good to feel like I'm living in my truth and I have nothing else to hide. And of course, you know, being a closeted medium for 20 years is just one part of my story where I can say that it's so, like I said, liberating to just be unapologetically me.
I love that. I love that there was a piece of what you just shared in there that you had shared a little bit earlier, like that was around fear that popped up again for me, is that fear of, or the worry that what the truth is, isn't what you want it to be. So I think that feels like a very important message. I think that's going to resonate with a lot of people to be aware of that within yourself. If you are finding yourself stumbling of something not working out or being too fearful around something, like really addressing that thing. Like, well, is it because I'm scared to see what the truth is? I kind of fall in that line of, you know, being too truthful to a fault as well. And it's just, but I've also found it's very freeing. It's, you know, there's a lot of freedom when you just succumb to just the truth and just living in that space. Even the things that you think are going to be your biggest fears or your biggest challenges, the fears around that end up being a lot less when you walk down that road. So I will definitely be very interested in reading this once this does come out. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I will be one of the first people to be buying your book. I feel like everything you said is just so needed right now. Like there's a lot of people, I think with social media too, it's amplified this feeling of having to present a certain way or not rock the boat or being afraid of, you know, being rejected or canceled or whatever. Right? And it's just such a suffocating way to live. And it kind of bridges in other parts of our lives. So yeah, I think it's something I was even thinking about the other day too, is like, you know, how can I be more truthful and who I am and express who I am more without being afraid of what other people are going to think or what I'm going to think of myself based on their projections and all of that stuff. So I'm excited to read this eventually. So
Thank you. And at the end of every chapter, I have a self-assessment. So you can kind of go over by that, you know, the 10 categories, which area do you really need to, you know, have a coming to terms with your truth of where you fall in and then give you some exercises and tools to try to begin to work on that. So
that's amazing. I love that.
And I think that can also open the door for people that if you let down some of those walls and you do try to walk more in a truthful space, because I think some people get fearful, you know, when Shayla was talking about how much this is happening in our world right now, my brain starts to go to like, there's some people that what their personal truth is could come off offensive. Could come off, you know, not your lightest and highest level vibration. But I think if you open up that door and you allow yourself to be truthful with what it is you believe, even if it is offensive, then you're also opening that door to the truth around whatever, however it is you understand something that might bring you more enlightenment on something so that you can see it in a bigger space to where you can then move forward with it in a more gentler or maybe a more greater expanded vision of something that then doesn't come off offensive or, you know, is more inclusive or more understanding of a topic. So I think that really can start unfolding a lot of things and a lot of healing that I think a lot of us need, especially when we do all rely on social media so much. You know, we don't know what is the truth out there all the time. So I think like suggesting people to really tap into this is a huge healing thing that's needed. So yes, please keep on with that work.
Yeah. And I feel like both can be true. I think we can tell the truth and not necessarily offend someone, meaning the delivery in which you tell your truth doesn't have to be offensive or delivered in an offensive way. For example, right. It makes me think of boundary setting, where it's like boundary setting. Let's say you have an in-law who just seems to cross the line. And you have to set a boundary to say, no, this is not okay. Like my truth is that that's not going to work for me. And this is why. And thank you for respecting that. So you told your truth, but you didn't yell, you didn't scream, you didn't say you're a terrible person. So that's just one example of where you can tell your truth, but do it in a tactful way. That's not going to necessarily, rock the boat too much.
Yes, 100%. We all need that right now in one area of our life or another. There's so much going on. So I think that's very, very important.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Mary Beth, this has been phenomenal. Like, thank you so much for all that you've shared. It has been so awesome to, you and I have gotten to know each other a little bit more over the past few months. And today I've gotten to know you even more. And I'm even more excited to see what it is you create and see what it is you do. You share a lot of your work and a lot of yourself on social media, which I love. It is very cool to watch you work. And I love that you give us those little glimpses into like behind the scenes of what you're doing. So I think that in itself is very healing for people. So you shared your website is Soul Shines Coaching, correct? And then that is also your Instagram handle. Are those the best ways for people to connect with you if they'd like to work with you?
Yep. Is a website. Yep. And social media, Facebook. And I'm more active on Instagram.
Awesome. Perfect.
Well, this was lovely. Right. Thank you so much for having me on your show. And we'll have to continue the conversation.
Yeah. Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I think a lot of people are going to just really resonate with your work and what you shared today. So yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Hey, Soli listeners. Thank you so much for being here with us today. If you enjoy this podcast and would like to help support us, there are a few ways that you can do that. The first way is to give us a positive review on Apple or Spotify, and this helps us to be pushed up the algorithm, which allows more people to find our podcast. The second thing you can do is word of mouth. Send it to a friend or a family member who you feel would really enjoy this kind of conversation. We also have all of our social media linked below, as well as our Soli email. So if you have something to say, you have a question, you have an episode suggestion, or just want to share your story, you can do that below. Okay. Stop.